Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We continue to explore the lives of the saints who have been called as members of the church, the body of Christ. Last week, we examined verses 17 through 19, which reveal that the church of Christ, along with the saints within it, cannot live or fellowship with this world like unbelievers. This is because we, the saints who believe, have been saved through Jesus and now know and believe in God as our Abba Father. We have a relationship with him, love him, and enjoy fellowship with him. We are called to grow to the full stature of Jesus, the true Son. In other words, we have begun to experience a taste of heaven here on earth. Therefore, we cannot live like the sinners of this world who do not know or believe in Jesus. Starting from verse 20, we are given a clear reason why we cannot live like the people of this world. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But that is not the way you learn Christ. We have come to know Jesus through the gospel. This understanding sets apart from the rest of the world and is why our lives cannot mirror theirs. We have learned about Christ through the Word of God, and Jesus is an integral part of our lives. If we truly know Jesus, have a relationship with him, and experience fellowship with him, then our lives must reflect that, unlike those who do not know him. Knowing Jesus goes beyond simple knowledge. It involves experiencing and enjoying the love and grace he demonstrated on the cross. It means understanding and recognizing what Jesus has accomplished in our lives through his sacrifice. Because of this, he calls us to live a life worthy of his gift. We are reminded that his grace is not just a past event, but something he has accomplished, is accomplishing, and will complete in the future. As Christians, we believe in Jesus, obey his commands, and live lives worthy of our calling. This is why the good deeds of the worldly people and the acts of faith of Christians are different. Christians perform their actions based on faith in Jesus, knowing and believing in him. In contrast, worldly people lack this faith. They do not have Jesus in their life. Everything for them depends on their own judgment, and they do what they believe is right. At first glance, their actions may appear similar, but actions without Jesus is like building a house on sand, while living in a proper relationship with him is akin to building a house on rock. A house built on sand will not withstand the day of judgment. It will ultimately collapse. This is why he continues to say in verse 21, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is found in Jesus, and we are those who have heard his words and received his teachings. This doesn't just mean that we have heard the truth. It means we were born again by hearing the living words of God through the grace of the Holy Spirit, and we continue to be renewed by these words. Therefore, those who embrace the truth cannot lead the same lives as unbelievers, as the words of Christ dwell within them. In verse 20 and 21, we can see the principle by which we, as believers and as a church, should live. Verse 20 speaks of learning about Christ, while verse 21 refers to hearing his words, the truth, and receiving the teachings from him. All this points to the words of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. As those who have accepted the gospel, we grow by hearing, believing, holding on to, and obeying its words while knowing and believing in Jesus. Without the Jesus and the gospel, Our lives will resemble those of Gentiles, living with empty hearts. He commands us to live a life where the word of Christ dwells richly within us. In verse 22 through 24, he addresses the saints who have believed in the gospel and come to know Jesus. Although it is framed as a command, it signifies that the word of the gospel operates within us in this way. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This passage talks about our sanctification, which means shedding our old selves that lived without God and without knowing Jesus, and growing into our new selves that believe in the gospel and know Him. God accomplishes this transformation through His word, which is why He commands us to follow it. We have already died to our old selves with Jesus and have been reborn as new creations in Him. While we will ultimately grow into a completely new self in the future, we are called to embark on the path of sanctification in our current lives. This involves putting off our old selves and putting on our new selves, guided by the grace found in the Word. Sanctification is intertwined with salvation. So who ultimately accomplishes our sanctification? It is God. He commands us to discard our old selves and embrace our new selves as part of our salvation. However, it is the Holy Spirit who not only gives these commands, but also dwells within us, enabling us to fulfill them and instilling in us the will to do so. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We are instructed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but it is God who works within us, giving us a new desire in our hearts to pursue it. In other words, He renews our will to carry out His commands. He calls us to put off our old selves and put on our new selves. But how does He guide us on what kind of old self we need to discard? He shows us that it's a life led by the lusts of temptation and corrupted by deceitful desires. This way of life represents the vain existence of the Gentiles or unbelievers, as described in verses 17 through 19. It is a life marked by ignorance and hardness of heart, where one abandons the life of God and succumbs to debauchery, acting without sense, engaging in all sorts of impure acts driven by greed. What does this life look like? Jesus elaborated on the lives of these Gentiles in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The Gentiles are often consumed by anxiety over what they eat, drink, and wear, allowing these concerns to dictate their lives. This prioritization represents a form of idolatry, where material needs take precedence over God, Jesus, the gospel, worship, faith, God's will, and the kingdom of God. As a result, they abandon these spiritual values at any moment in favor of their earthly desires. Jesus teaches that such a mindset is inappropriate for the kingdom of God. Consider the Israelites who, driven by complaints about the lack of food and water, turned away from God. Their focus on worldly needs led them to pursue their own desires, ultimately resulting in their destruction in the wilderness. What does Jesus say about the nature of the new self? He teaches that it is a life focused on seeking God's kingdom and righteousness. This new life prioritizes God, Jesus, the gospel, worship, faith, God's will, and His glory. In today's message, Jesus describes it as the life of God's people. Created in His likeness, embodying righteousness, holiness, and truth. Simply put, it reflects the image of God and resembles Jesus. The saints are given the life of a son, reborn in the image of God the Father, and they grow into this life, mirroring Jesus, the true Son. This is the life that belongs to the kingdom of God, since He enables us to increasingly die to our old self and embrace the new self. He commands us to discard the old self and put on the new self. Paul emphasizes that righteousness, truth, and holiness are essential aspects of our new selves. Living a life of righteousness means obeying God and being set apart as holy, grounded in the knowledge of God. It involves growing into the likeness of Jesus as our prophet, priest, and king. Essentially, it's about putting on Jesus. Everything connects back to Him and the journey of becoming like Him. Therefore, sanctification cannot occur without a deep understanding of Jesus. It's not simply about moral improvement or becoming a good person. The Holy Spirit transforms our hearts through the knowledge of Jesus, making us more like Him. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of a character that reflects Jesus. In verse 23, it says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind," and encourages us to put on the new self. This same call to renewal is also found in Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Our spiritual worship occurs through the renewing of our minds, which transforms us and enables us to discern and obey God's will. In today's text, we recognize that this renewal happens through the work of sanctification, where we put on a new self. But how exactly do we renew our minds? Can we achieve this through our own strength and abilities? The answer is no. It is the Holy Spirit who renews our minds. When our minds are renewed by the Holy Spirit, we embrace a new identity, discern God's good and pleasing will, and worship Him fully. While the Holy Spirit works to sanctify us, He also instills in our hearts a new desire to live according to God's will. This transformation allows us to act with a renewed mind and will, but it is entirely due to the grace of the Holy Spirit that we experience such changes. Therefore, there is nothing for us to boast about. All we can do is express our gratitude. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. "He saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." The Holy Spirit works in us to renew our hearts, helping us to put off the old self and put on the new self. We cannot achieve this transformation without the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is why it is essential to earnestly seek His grace. But how does the Holy Spirit accomplish this renewal? He does so through the faith he has given us. What is the core of that faith? It centers on the gospel, the knowledge of Jesus, and belief in the salvation he has provided. The Holy Spirit operates solely through the Word. He does not work apart from it. In Ephesians, he commands to put off the old self and put on the new self is written in a commanding tense, as if we must achieve this through our own efforts. However, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, the ideas are expressed in the past tense. We have put off the old self and put on the new self. This emphasizes the reality that this transformation has already been accomplished in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Romans 6 tells us that our old self was crucified with Jesus and has died. Additionally, it states that our new self has been resurrected and now lives with Jesus. While this transformation is not yet visible to our eyes, it represents our true and spiritual reality. Given this, how should we live in accordance with this reality? Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. We are told to live as if we are dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus. This transformation can only occur through faith, specifically by believing in Jesus and recognizing what he has accomplished. It starts with viewing ourselves as those who have received new life solely through Jesus and the salvation he provides. In Colossians 3, it says that we died with Jesus and have been resurrected with him, and that our lives are hidden in God. We possess a new life that is rooted in heaven, though for now it remains temporarily concealed in God alongside Jesus. This means that while our union with Jesus reflects our true reality, it has not yet been fully revealed as visible glory. Therefore, we can experience and share this reality through faith until Jesus returns. Saints, remember that while we are united with Jesus, our new life in him is currently hidden in God. Although this life is not yet revealed, our union with Jesus and with God assures us that this reality is unchanging and cannot be taken away. This is our eternal truth, and it is completely certain. We believe this by faith, not by sight. Through our faith, we are being sanctified. To put off our old selves, we must believe that our old selves were crucified and died with Jesus. To live a life free from sin, we must accept that we are already dead to sin. If we wish to embrace our new selves, we must believe that we have been resurrected with Jesus and have become children of God, belonging to heaven. When we see ourselves as dead to the world and alive to God, Jesus, and righteousness, we can offer ourselves to God in our daily lives. We live and die in this faith, boldly entering heaven because of it. Our journey of faith is continuous from beginning to end. Sanctification is accomplished not only by the Holy Spirit, but also through the faith he gives us. We are sanctified in the hope that Jesus has accomplished, is accomplishing, and will fully accomplish in our lives. Believers, the church is a gathering place for those who share faith and hope. It is where we come together in fellowship, united by this faith and hope. With our faith, we do not lose heart. Instead, we persevere in our hope and move forward together. We become one in our knowledge and belief in Jesus, and we grow together into His full stature. Faith comes solely from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit instills faith in us through His Word. Therefore, what we truly need is the gospel. Let us remember that until we reach heaven, our greatest need is the word of the gospel. We must ask the Holy Spirit to grant us grace through this word. In doing so, we can reflect on our lives in Jesus and strive to live a life worthy of our calling. Only through our faith in the gospel can we, as saints, overcome the challenges of this world, resist the temptations of Satan, and triumph over death. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 and 9, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." May God grant us the grace to grow in faith and hope. May He help us believe in the truth of the gospel that Jesus has accomplished, is accomplishing, and will fully accomplish. May He also give us patience until the day He calls us home. Let us fellowship with one another as members of the body of Christ and live a life worthy of our calling.